morning. Great to stand before you this morning. At times you wonder, with all this, where to begin. But I heard and listened with the sound of the current move of God quite early in the day, in its purest form. And that sound has continued to shape, mold, refine me. So today, as I stand before you, I know several widows are going to open to us, because all of us are not at the same level. But the Lord knows the manner of our gathering today. But I want to begin with that the cutting edge of the apostolic is operating under an open heaven. And I want to draw something here. Then explain it. I want to use what happened in the day of Pentecost as an example. So that we can fully comprehend and understand what God is doing in our midst. When a word is spoken from heavens by the Lord, through the mouth of those ordained of him, I hear some calling them prophets. When the Lord speaks through his mouthpiece, at times the word they are speaking is for a time. Like what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit to young and old. And during the day of Pentecost, the fullness of that word came and the fullness of his time. So those who had gathered in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost said, it's only 9 in the morning and these people are drunk. But Peter, who was a partaker of that reality, said, this that you're seeing is that which was spoken. So what Peter is saying, this prophetic apostolic dimension you're seeing manifest is in fulfillment with a prophetic word which was spoken, and its time has come. This means a prophetic word which has been in the air waiting for a generation, waiting for its time has come. That is what some of us call season. When you go into Greek, it's what they call a kairos, a set time, a moment within the flow of time when God has ordained certain specific things to happen on the face of the earth. The manifestation of that reality is what people call the apostolic. And mainly the people who spearhead that reality are apostles. And this is to mean the apostolic has the ability and capability to bring the prophetic word into a manifest reality on the earth. Very important. This means these people who are called apostolic people, who have identified with the word from the sent one, and they have been born by that reality, one of the things they must have is a hearing ear. Because what they are receiving at the end of the prophetic word, of the prophetic spectrum, it is a certain reality in heaven that God wants to build on the face of the earth. And mainly, apostolic manifestation produces church. What some of us today are calling kingdom communities. And church or kingdom community, it is an entity birthed on the earth by the word of the Lord from heaven. It is something which has left the realm of eternity and has been birthed in the earth, but its nature and character is not of this earth. Yet, the intent of the sender is to produce that reality as an establishment on the earth so that the heavens and the earth can synchronize in one on the earth. So that even as you look and ponder over the Lord's prayer, your kingdom come, you will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This means there is a reality, an establishment, a divine entity that has been birthed on the earth. And in the activities on the earth, they are producing with exactness as it is in heaven. What heaven is saying, it is what they are saying. What heaven is doing is what they are doing. And this means they have been empowered by the heavens, because like the way Samuel was saying, it is not possible to advance a divine initiative without divine empowerment. This means the sender, one of the primary things he gives an apostolic people is his authority or his government. And this means this people, in terms of mentality, the word of the Lord that comes to them constructs in them a finishing mentality. And they've been endured with authority or divine government to situate that which they've been mandated to do on the earth is finished on time and according to plan. And this means the security of these people is not something eternal. It is something which has left the heavens and has rested on them to see to it they will have passage across human and satanic systems in order for the eternal purposes of God to proceed on the earth according to plan. This means these people have divine power. That is the government of God. And that government has given them ability to burst satanic and human systems in order for the eternal purposes of God to proceed according to plan. This means when you look at these people or this entity birthed out of a prophetic word, the original, they are not a photocopy. They are authentic. They are valid. They are legitimate. And they've been authorized by the heaven to function on the earth. In the early days of this reality, you would hear like what we are hearing today. Your heart is bearing witness with what you're hearing, but your mentality is not compatible with that reality. And I would urge you this morning that you continue pursuing this sound and this voice, and as you step into that realm of obedience to the word you're hearing, that word will begin to reconstitute your mind. And not just your mind, it will reconfigure your spiritual DNA, because God wants us to produce what is in him on the earth with exactness. And it is not possible if our spiritual DNA has not been reconfigured. You can't give what you don't have. And this means as we allow the word of the Lord that is coming to us, one, to recalibrate our hearts, to adjust our hearts, in order for our hearts to have an accurate heart position, then our minds will be hit by the revelation knowledge of Christ that is coming into our spirit man, and the light of revelation knowledge will begin to transform and renew our minds. The entrance of your word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. Let me tell you, what you and I require this morning is a pure heart. The light heart condition, which is a meek and a gentle spirit. If you achieve that, then allow the Lord to be in your life. And in the process of time, you will realize there is a work the Lord has been working in your life. And what he spoke in line with your prophetic destiny, even though humanly speaking, even to you, it looked an impossibility, the very word of the Lord that has come to you causes to step into that realm where all things are possible. That dimension of life of possibilities. This means that word of the Lord comes with a certain grace. And I want you to reflect in your heart and in your mind and see why you're seated here today. It is because somebody mentioned to you all you had about grace table. In short, what I'm saying, you had a voice. That voice is a sound. That is the way the heavens opens. When God has intended to visit the earth in a season, in a kairos, he releases a sound from heaven. Then a heart on the earth that have been thirsting and hungering for more of God captures that voice. And let me tell you, the apostolic is not for those who are in their comfort zone, but those who are in a place of complacency. You are settled. And if the voice of the Lord comes to you in your comfort zone, the first thing he will do, it is to create a disturbance. It is to disorient you. That word falls in your environment like a bomb. And one of the things it creates, if you're not set for it, is confusion. Because everything will begin to cave in line with the word of the Lord that has come. But the word of the Lord always comes to a people who are discontented with the status quo and what is happening in their day. And when they hear this sound from heaven, they're able to listen it with that reality and say, that voice is agreeing with my heart and my spirit man that is what I've been looking for. So that voice is a frequency from heaven. That frequency carries grace. That grace is not just unmerited favor. That grace is called divine resource from heaven to give you capability and ability to do according to the word of the Lord with exactness on the face of the earth. And with that, you can understand the Apostle Paul when he is saying, I am the least among us the apostles, yet I've labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God in my life. Because this sufficiency is not in my competence as a human being. This sufficiency is of God and has been given to me by this impartation of a certain deposit of frequency from heaven called grace. It's like God cutting a portion of his being and depositing that in you so that you can function on the earth at the same frequency with God in heaven. It gives one divine ability. It gives one. Grace gives one divine ability. Hallelujah. And one of the primary resource within apostolic grace is wisdom. Wisdom. And wisdom was there even before the foundations of the earth were laid. So for God to create, what he used was the spirit of wisdom. He spoke the word, and the word created. This means the spirit of wisdom understands the mind of God, understands the heart of God, understands divine blueprints, and not just understanding, but has the ability to decode and build that reality on the face of the earth. This is why, and I normally say this, that every morning when I wake up, that's a personal prayer. Among the things that I ask the Lord, it is to increase the the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because the spirit of revelation is able to know this mystery called Christ. Then the spirit of wisdom gives me the technical know-how to extract from that revelation blueprint and build that reality on the earth, in the lives of people. Because we say it, apostolic manifestation produces church. And in Kahawa West, we are having a model and a pattern of this reality. And you know, as a man and a woman of God, when you hear God and you're persuaded, you have this conviction in your heart, God has called you and he has earmarked you. It's like he causes you to step into an environment whereby instead of adding value to you, he is removing everything you thought you are and everything you thought you had. It's like he puts you on a liver's gear. It is very clear in your heart that your destination was Eldoret. But the reality is, you're seeing God having put you on an overdrive, and it is liver's gear. You know you're supposed to be heading Eldoret, but you're very fast moving towards Mombasa. And you know what I've realized in all these, and this is how many of us become casualties when the Lord is dealing with us and building capacity in us. Why the Lord is doing all this? Because he wants to teach you this one lesson. It is not by your own competence. It is not by your own sufficiency. Because when he's done with you and your light in Mombasa, the next thing you hear, you're in the air, frying to Eldoret. He puts you on a supersonic gear and you begin to operate in the reality of the prophetic destiny that you had and saw in God concerning your life. And let me tell you, and I can attest to that today, in the economy of God, there is nothing called loss. In the economy of God, even when you think you are losing, when you move into the mind of Christ in Paul, then you're able to bear witness with this reality that we know all things work together for good to those who are called, to those who love God, and are called according to his own purpose. So even that which you call negative, let's say you're short-tempered and you hardly bear with people, he will cause you to step in an environment of a people who are unbearable. And he puts you in that school, pays the school fees and locks the gate for the school. So you can't run away. And you will move from that level or dimension when you say, yes, Lord, have your way in my life. And then you'll come out of that situation having more of the nature and character of Christ. And you know, you will value people the way God values them. You will handle and interact with human resource the way God handles and interacts with human resource. Because many of us are given openings by God, but because we have not allowed the word of the Lord that has come to us to produce the nature and the character of that word, we mess up. We abuse and lap human resource that has been entrusted to us. And this means each one of us needs to allow the Lord to develop a character in us that is able to support the word of the Lord that has come to us. Because we must again reintroduce excellence on the face of the earth. Excellence is a virtue from the next dimension called eternity. And we must reintroduce excellence on the face of the earth. So wisdom and knowledge was granted to Solomon instantly. An impartation of divine resource into the life of Solomon from God. And I want to mention three levels or three types of wisdom. The first type of wisdom is wisdom that comes by ears. Wisdom that comes by experience. Wisdom that comes because you're aged. Wisdom that comes because you are an old man or an old woman. Wisdom by experience. That's type one. The other type is wisdom that comes because of studying the scriptures, the Bible. You've studied the scriptures cover to cover. So you have wisdom because of the knowledge you have of the scriptures. It might also be because of a certain specialization you've been trained in. That you are a consultant in that area. But the kind of wisdom we are talking about, it is the third kind of wisdom, which is by grace impartation. And this is what Solomon received. This is the dimension that was imparted upon Paul. This doesn't come by old age. It comes by divine appointment and divine impartation. And this is what the apostolic brings. And I want us to understand this. God is not religious. And God didn't send his son on earth to begin a religion called Christianity. God sent his son to restore a relationship that was broken. So God holds very dear the preciousness of relationships. And one of the names Jesus Christ was called was a sage. C-A-G-E. And it means a man of wisdom. Wisdom which comes through apostolic grace is not just for the church. It is a deposit from the eternal realm into a people on the earth because God wants his government to restructure human life on the earth. I want you to study what we normally call the Pentecost, the Protestant Reformation in Europe. Because generally that time in Europe, there was a renaissance. There was some light coming. And even peasant farmers had captured there is a sound that is coming. But the main proponent of that reality, the justification by faith, came through Martin Luther. And the priesthood of all believers. But it was a proclamation. It was a sound. By the way, Martin Luther, in terms of structure, he still copied the Roman Catholic pattern. So in terms of priesthood of all believers, that reality was not fully formed in the days of Martin Luther. And Christ in heaven is still waiting for that reality to take formation on the earth. But that Protestant reformation was based on two things. The just shall live by faith, and priesthood of all believers. And when you study that movement, you will see men like Calvin, who was in Geneva, was like the epoch, the fullness of that move. And Calvin is what we see today in the Presbyterian Church. You know, many of us say PCA. Yet we don't delve into the reality of that. It meant the church was meant to be governed and to be led by a prophetic apostolic presbytery. Presbyterian. Plural in leadership. But the teaching elder is one. Amongst an arrowhead. Study even agriculture, and you will see why the flower industry, the horticulture industry, is in Holland, in Amsterdam in particular. It is out of that which developed, out of this move of God that even shifted agriculture in a new paradigm, the way it was done. And you know, many of us in Kenya are farming flowers, but we don't know at the core of that is a move of God. Just like the way one time a German young man was told by his parents, let's give thanks to God for the meal before us. And he told his parents, why give thanks to God? We should give thanks to the German government. It is the one which has provided this meal right before us. And you know, in Germany, they have over 300 universities, and education is free from kindergarten to the highest level. You don't pay. And Germany has one of the best education and some of the best innovators. Talk about medicine. India produces generics. But if you're talking about the real thing, the real deal, in terms of medicine, you talk about places like Switzerland, a very tiny nation of 6 million people. Yet, even as we talk today, their shilling or their money is stronger than the dollar. Or sailing at the same level. And up to today, the Pentecostal church in Switzerland is taken as a cult because of the Reformed Church of Switzerland, which impacted even policy formulation in their nation to a point, even today, when if you're working, you don't give 10% tithe to church. It is the government that cuts your 10%, then they pay the reformed ministers. And in Kenyan money, they are paid not less than a million, plus a house and all the fringe benefits, because they know the benefits we are enjoying came because of move of God, came to us through men like Swingri. Swingri was more lethal and dangerous than Martin Luther. But the bad news in it is when the Anabaptists, these people who said baptism is by immersion, and you don't baptize children, you dedicate children, Agnes Swingri and others who had embraced the justification by faith and priesthood of our believers, began persecuting them. And that is how the Anabaptists thrived under persecution. And at the same time, and I want you to know there are two maps in the world. There are political maps and apostolic maps. Those are the two dimensions that shape the earth. At the same time, new lands were discovered. So actually the people who went to lay the foundation in places like Yulup are people who had been persecuted because of being on the cutting edge truth in Europe. And that is how come one of the biggest denominations in the United States of America is the Baptist Church. Yet when the Holy Spirit was poured, there are two theories about this. One Mennonite called Menosimo was a black man. And there is another theory of a certain Bible Institute where a lecturer told the students, I want you to write a paper on this, that the Holy Spirit is not for this generation. One student read the book of Acts and saw that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for us and our children, and even those who are far off. And when this student was presenting the paper, he went contrary to the thought pattern of the lecturer and even went ahead and told the lecturer, the Holy Spirit is for now. And in order to prove that, I want you to lay your heart on me and I will receive the Holy Spirit. So the unbelieving lecturer laid his heart upon this student and the student began to babble in other tongues. The next student told the lecturer, lay heart on me. Babbled in tongues. The next one, lay heart on me. And at the end of the process, also the lecturer told the student, also lay hands on me. And he received the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Spirit was poured in Azusa Street amongst the black people, the Southern Baptist could not submit to black leadership because of racialism. Because the Holy Spirit was first poured in the U.S. in Azusa Street amongst the black people. The key proponent of that was Menosimo, a black man, one-eyed. And they began one of the biggest denominations in the U.S. called the Church of God in Christ. Some people think Assemblies of God is very holy. But Assemblies was begun by white people because they didn't want to submit to the leadership of black people. And the Pentecostal move of God is the only move of God amongst the other moves of restoration of truth that has been able to spread across the earth, even in the islands of the seas. And that has been sponsored and powered by the American dollar. And you need to understand this. that in Kenya, God raised choice men and women. But when they encountered with the reality of the dollar, there, and the kind of reception they were given. You know, I had one man say, I went to a certain church, and he said that through a man who introduced him. I went to a certain church through this man, and I ministered in a midweek service, Wednesday Bible study at Grace Table. And he said the offering I was given, that is what I bought the house I'm living in Comalock. That man had a powerful ministry in Kenya. But do you know where he is today? He went to America through a green card. I know of another who was given $7 million. Then he came back here, called his elders. $4 million are mine. $3 million, you can do what you want. Church activities. And you know how he raised that money? He said, I rehabilitate street children in Kenya. And I'm having a Bible school. So the question is, who needs to be rehabilitated? I'm talking to ministers here. Who needs to be rehabilitated? Because he said, I'm going back and coming with the money. But for him, out of that is mine. And I want you to track the movement of the Spirit and population growth, demography. Much of what you call, how many billion people living on earth today? Yeah? Huh? 7 billion. Much of those people are living in the southern hemisphere. And I don't want to go into that because some politics have begun to come into my mind. I may not go into that. But this is what I'm putting across to us. The tide of restoration of truth began in Europe. Justification by faith, priesthood of all believers, then the holiness movement, and these, the main proponents were Charles, John, who and who? Yeah? John Wesley and Charles Wesley. They were the main proponents of the holiness movement. Because these guys who are saying they are born again were still smoking cigar. This guy saw light and said, if you're born again, you must set your life apart for God. You must walk in true holiness and righteousness. And that influenced the demography and the topography of the spiritual reality in America. And a Pentecostal move emerged out of that reality. I was reading a book that those guys who first identified with the Pentecostal move, you know, these are days of the horses. Eh? You are here, your legs are tied, then they are tied to a cart of a horse, and then they pull you on the Lord. Some were hanged because of this reality they had embraced, saying there is something called being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there is a new move of God in the earth called apostolic reformation. Some call it prophetic apostolic. Some call it apostolic movement. And it is mainly emerging from the continent of Africa and the Asian nations. And this is a new day on the face of the earth. And I want you to know this, dear ones. When we talk about the Pentecostal move of God, the charismatic began in the U.S. and in Canada, just like the Pentecostal Assemblies of God, which you now call Christ, is the answer. That's a Pentecostal church. Pentecostal Assemblies of God began from Canada. Assemblies of God began from the U.S. And they are the products of like East African School of Theology. But many of these training centers, their thought pattern is still the Wesleyan theology. I wanted to ask yourself this question. How come we have so many graduates from Bible colleges, yet we don't feel their impartation in terms of society transformation? Because the word of the Lord, when it leaves the heavens, when it hits upon a human being, the first thing it does, it is to restructure that human being to take the nature and the character of a dimension of Christ that has left heaven, that God wants to see it as an establishment on the face of the earth so that it can give a true expression of his image and nature to the human race. And this is where James labored with us in showing us about a man who has encountered with heaven, and the voice of the Lord has impacted a certain dimension of the nature and the character of God, and this man begins to proclaim that message. And that message produces a movement. This is where the parting shot comes in. Because the proclaimers of truth today, if they lack to continue in the prophetic apostolic, they will become the Pharisees of tomorrow, persecuting those who are proclaiming present day truth. And we are not exceptions. Let me tell you. What keeps a people on the cutting edge, it is for them to continue hearing the preceding word, because that is what defines their life. When a movement is no longer taking shape according to the word of the Lord, that is leaving heaven. That movement begins to create membership. And membership makes a people who God intended for them to be matured by the proceeding word from him to immortalize the truth. Because God, in his move among his people, is generational. So these ministers should be ministers of a generation, them being fathers, producing sons who will pass on the truth they have received to other sons. When people take the monument path, one of the things they do, they take position and they begin to defend and protect what God has done in the past. That's a fallacy position. The gap between proclamation and manifestation is the fallacy gap. The gap between revelation and manifestation is the fallacy gap. And Pharisees are very religious people, very good people. Even Jesus told his disciples, Do what they tell you, because what they have is the truth. But don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they say. They have the keys of knowledge. They are not entering, and they are not allowing others to enter. That's when a move of God leeches this place of monument. This is where squabbles begin, even through that movement, because of properties. Because people never fight about present truth. People will fight you. Not fight for it, but when properties come, and let me tell you, when you see fights and strife and quarrels because of something which was created by the word, you better learn for your life. Let me tell you, you better learn for your life. Because with you, you have ability to create that and much more than that. Wherever strife is, God is not evident. And you know, monument, instead of producing sons of God, it produces sycophants in the name of loyalty and submission. I want to submit to us this, that Jesus Christ was operating at the same frequency and wavelength with the Father in heaven. He was not semi to the Father. Yet in his ministry, you see government, you see rank, you see order. And Jesus did not produce sycophants. And I want you to know this. Every move of God produces sons. Even a counterfeit, that which comes to mimic that which is valid, has also sons. But sons should be of the same sound, same frequency with the founding father. This is to tell you, we should produce on the earth men and women who are more greater and powerful than us. Because when people begin to build a monument, one of the things you will see in their midst is insecurity. And they will begin to protect that which is their own, not knowing in the first place it was produced by a sound, by a frequency. The monument turns into a monster, and it will even suck the key leader and all the people who are within that structure and system, and they will have a warped mentality. And this is where the issue of death to self comes in. This is where the secret of a man like Paul was in. I want us to mark the words of Paul, who said, we die daily. Death works in us, but life works in you. And even when he's Paul the aged, and he knows he's about to leave this tabernacle, because Paul was aiming for immortality. When he knew he would go, he wrote to young Timothy and told him, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the sincerity of the faith. Because when the word of the Lord comes to you, it should produce a pure character. Because why many of us are not hearing God, and hearing God should just be like the way we are breathing air without training. It is because we don't allow the word of the Lord to work its work in us so that it can produce a pure character like the sender of the word. So that as sons of God, we can be the exact representation of our Father in heaven. I want to submit to us this. We can't allow this move of God to abort in our hearts. You can't allow this. You know, the month of June last year, just on a small note, one of the places I went in UK is Northampton. And I met these guys who are beneficiaries of the Pentecostal move of God. And these guys have fought many battles. And they believed in what we learn here, Acts chapter 2, verses 42. They had all things in common, and none lacked in their midst. These people began, the Holy Spirit was poured on them in 1968. In the 1970s, they went about solidifying the reality of their faith. They have houses where they live together, more than 40 houses. And some of their houses, one house, they went about buying castles. Like where was in Northampton, a house has like 23 bedrooms. It's on a piece of land, 130 acres. Part of what they are doing, farming, they have 38 different varieties of apples. They have a wholesale business, and they're only four of their kind in the UK and Wales. And they distribute over 7,000 different items. You talk of resources. What amazed me, they don't have personal bank accounts. What they have is a common pass. In their businesses, they have very learned guys. They are the CEOs in their companies. But from the CEO to the one who cleans the toilet, they are given one same salary. Much of the salary, I asked one of the ladies, do you guys tithe? She asked me, why tithe? We have given our lives. We give all our monies. Even the portion which we take, we bring it to the common purse. Why? We live in our own houses. We learn our own businesses. We drive our own cars. We eat our own food. They have a distribution center where foods are distributed equally in all their community houses. They eat the same meal, and these people eat like kings. I was taken to the kitchen, to their fridges, to their deep freezers, and I was taken to the storeroom, and I was told, anything you want here, Anthony, is yours for the taking. And when I arrived in Northampton, as I was being taken aloud, an old lady, 83 years old, asked me, are your clothes clean? Then I took to her. She put them in the laundry. Then, of course, in the dryer. And then the following morning when we were having a prayer meeting, she said, at 86, I am a recycled teenager. Hallelujah. And she said, if all my siblings come aloud, I will fill a whole city. I am a recycled teenager at 86. Yet in the midst of that, the Lord gave me a word for these people because I realized they are in midlife crisis. And you know, at times, when you see people like that and what they have, and you are a man from Africa, you might feel intimidated. But let me tell you, I sat before a man, an Oxford-trained lawyer, who is in his 70s. I delivered, because I had structured that word, because revelation is recordable. And when I was through, this man said, and a gentleman who was there said, pray for us. Then the goodness of it, I delivered the word, and the following morning I was leaving Northampton to go to Oxford. So I was safe. So when I came back here, and two of them had come November last year, they said, among us, the people we are meeting with, we also want Anthony to be there. So when I went where they were staying, they said, the word of the Lord you brought to us after you left, 1 week after you left, an earthquake came. What am I saying, dear ones? There is a move of God in the earth. And it is emerging from the continent of Africa, primarily. And Kenya is at the core of this reality. And this means grace table should be the purest form of this expression in this nation. And this should become a springboard to the nations of the earth. Thank you. The Lord bless you. We can go for a break. 5 minutes, then we come back. Thank you.